Jeremy, two extraordinary political battles are playing out today. Democrats in control of the House are holding their first hearing to grill a member of President Trump's cabinet, and acting Attorney General Matthew Whitaker is in the hot seat on Capitol Hill today.
And Amazon and Washington Post owner Jeff Bezos accusing the publisher of the National Enquirer, a tabloid owned by a friend of President Trump, of trying to blackmail him with embarrassing photos for political reasons. Let's bring in our Friday Politics Roundtable. Rick Klein, ABC News political director. Hi, Rick.
Great to be with you.
And Aisha Roscoe, NPR White House reporter. Hi, Aisha.
Hello.
Okay, let's start with this Jeff Bezos story, which broke last night. Just an unbelievable story. American Media Inc., which is the parent company of the National Enquirer, said in a statement this morning that it acted lawfully in investigating Bezos and that its board will promptly and thoroughly investigate Bezos' claims and take whatever action is necessary. The publisher of the National Enquirer, David Pecker, a friend of President Trump's, is on that board. Rick, what do you make of this whole story?
Well, in the cooperation agreement that David Pecker and AMI have with prosecutors in New York, stemming from the Stormy Daniels incidents, it all adds up to something much bigger even than the potential just the revelations that Bezos put in this extraordinary column that he wrote for Medium. And it gets to kind of the basics of how journalism is committed and how favors are traded, and it does potentially impact the president of the United States himself. We know his relationship with Mr. Pecker and with the National Enquirer have been very supportive in the past. Bezos even says maybe the Saudis were involved. So, well, it's an extraordinary showdown with the richest man in the world and maybe the most popular tabloid in the world.
Okay, let's get to the Saudi connection for a second, because this is really interesting that Bezos claims in the Medium post that the publisher of the Enquirer was livid about the Washington Post's coverage of the death of Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi, which many believe, including the CIA, was ordered by a close Trump ally, a close friend of Jared Kushner's, that would be the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, and that they wanted the Post to stop the investigation or they'd publish more photos in the Enquirer of Bezos. Aisha, where does all this lead, do you think? What's the next step here?
It's not really clear. This whole thing regarding the Saudis and them being upset about coverage of Khashoggi, this is a big issue because you do have the White House kind of taking this line that they still want to work with the Saudis and not necessarily going along with what some intelligence have found about the involvement of the Crown Prince. And so you have all of that going on, and you have a president who doesn't like the Washington Post reporting very much either. And he had kind of talked about some of AMI's earlier reporting on Bezos that kind of led to this divorce proceedings for Bezos and his wife. So you have all of these kind of interesting characters involved. Now, not the White House is not involved at this point, but you have all of these very powerful people who have been fighting each other for a long time and now kind of really throwing very serious accusations at each other.
Rick, I was just checking the president's Twitter feed. No response to this story yet. Have we heard anything from the White House or anyone from his inner circle?
No comment that I'm aware of formally on this, and maybe not necessary for them to comment at this particular juncture. This appears to be between Mr. Bezos and the National Enquirer and its lawyers. But the next move would appear to belong in some part to the Enquirer, and how do they respond to this extraordinary series of accusations, and where else does Bezos take this? We know they've been investigating actively how they obtained the photos that are alleged in this email exchange, how they obtained the text messages that appeared to show an infidelity that may be breaking up his marriage. So there's a lot that has to play out there before I think we hear from the president next.
Okay, so the other big story today in Washington, Matthew Whitaker in the hot seat on Capitol Hill this morning. House Judiciary Committee Chairman, a Democrat, Jerry Nadler, asked Whitaker if he gave sensitive information about the Russia investigation to the president after Whitaker was briefed on the special counsel's work.
I'm sorry.
It's a yes or no question. Have you communicated anything you learned in that briefing about the investigation to President Trump? Yes or no?
Mr. Chairman, as I've said earlier today in my opening remarks, I do not intend today to talk about my private conversations with the President of the United States. But to answer your question, I have not talked to the President of the United States about the special counsel's investigation.
And the backstory here is that Whitaker agreed to appear today only after Democrats on the committee backed off of this threat that they wanted to subpoena him if he tried to claim executive privilege. Aisha, have we learned anything from this hearing today?
What we've learned, Whitaker is going on the record, and this is important. It is a crime to lie to Congress, but he's going on the record saying that he hasn't discussed the investigation with anyone at the White House. So this Russia investigation, that he is not kind of going back or being a back channel for the White House. And so he's trying to make that clear. There have been some fireworks between Whitaker and Democrats on this panel, so it's not clear that this is going to really end here and whether there will be more questions raised by this hearing. But he is making the case that he is handling this investigation appropriately.
Rick, this is not the only hearing going on this week with the new Democratic chairman. There was also one about Trump's tax returns yesterday. President Trump is calling these investigations presidential harassment. This is, by the way, from a president who spent many years dogging President Obama about his supposed not American citizenship or his birthplace. What about this claim of presidential harassment?
No president likes to be investigated, and the president even fired a warning shot of sorts at his State of the Union address, basically saying that Democrats would be responsible if government drives to a halt because of investigations. That said, Democrats' view is that they were elected to provide oversight. They are not going to stop holding hearings on the president's taxes or on anything surrounding the Mueller investigation in Russia just because the president says, you're harassing me. If anything, it's going to make them dig in more. That said, there's a big caution flag that's been set up by leadership and throughout the party that while a lot of folks want to rush and immediately put those tax forms online, don't keep looking for that PDF form to just pop up in your inbox. They want to make sure this is done deliberately. And if maybe more relevantly on the Russia front, if we get to a point where the people start talking about impeachment, they want to approve the pretext for that. So they want this to go actually a lot more slowly than it may look given the flurry of activity this week.
So much happening in Virginia this week. Yeah. Aisha, let me just go to you on this because Ralph Northam, still the governor in Virginia, even after admitting to dressing in blackface a long time ago. Justin Fairfax, the lieutenant governor, has been accused of sexual assault. The attorney general also admitted to dressing in blackface. Now there's a Republican, the Senate leader, who edited a yearbook with blackface photos. What's going to happen in Virginia? Or do you think that Northam is going to stick around? And now that he's made it through these first few days, and it turns out there are so many other people have done similar things there in high positions of power in Virginia, that he'll just stay in power.
I am not a psychic, and so I wouldn't. And at this point, I don't think anyone should take bets on what's happening in Virginia, because I don't think anyone could have foreseen this happening. But I think with Governor Northam, I think that he has benefited from all of these other scandals coming out. And before all of these other things came out, the idea that he would have made it even to today would have been shocking. But I think because all of these kind of other skeletons in people's closets are coming out, that he has been able to hold on because there isn't really a clear line for what will happen next. If he has to go, then does the attorney general need to go? And then what happens with Fairfax? People are calling for investigations. So once this investigation is done, does Fairfax survive that? So with all of these questions, it seems like everyone is just kind of holding on right now, and no one's giving in and no one's leaving. And so I don't know how long that can last, right now, that seems to be the state of play.
Rick, what do you think? I was just looking at the Richmond Times-Dispatch newspaper this morning, and in some ways it looks like business is going on as usual in Virginia. Lawmakers cut a deal with the governor related to a tax issue. Does it seem to you like Democrats are trying to find a way to preserve one of these top three politicians so that they could keep the governor's seat?
That may be the default position, just because the alternative would be that much worse, to put a Republican in office when you have the top three elected leaders there. I think at this stage, it's maybe more likely than not that the governor holds on. There aren't enough pressures that can be brought to bear necessarily to make him change his mind. And because of the flaws identified or potential flaws, alleged flaws, in the other two folks that might take his place, it might be that the only thing that saves Ralph Northam is that the other alternatives are worse. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he's hung on a full week against all the odds, nothing else forces him out. He's got 3 years left on that term.
Who won the week in 2020 Democratic presidential politics? Elizabeth Warren's supposed to announce tomorrow, but she's dealing with even more revelations about listing herself as American Indian decades ago. Amy Klobuchar may make an announcement on Sunday about whether she's in. Beto O'Rourke was back in the news because of an interview with Oprah. Aisha, just a few seconds here. What do you think?
I actually think the person who probably won and is not in the running right now is Stacey Abrams. That she gave the response to the State of the Union and didn't mess it up. Which
no
a lot of
negative
people do.
Headlines for Stacey
and
Abrams.
So I think she's the winner, even though she's not in the race.
Except I did see a question about whether she might have been standing in front of a green screen. They're trying to figure that out on Twitter. Aisha Roscoe at NPR, Rick Klein at ABC. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.